thank you for coming to the 3rd annual RuPaul's Drag Con Los Angeles.
It's so heartening to see such tremendous support for identities that not long ago were considered antisocial and illegal.
The purpose is celebrating the art of drag with all the queerest people and weirdest people in the world. Love and art and craziness just coming together.
These are all things that the current administration is against. They want to build walls. They want to close minds, close hearts.
They stayed there and were gay there. Not very gay there, just gay there.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Chechnya's gay purge continues unabated, Singapore bans foreigners from Pink Dot, and drag goes wild at LA's RuFest. Those stories and a lot more this week, now that you've tuned in to This Way Out.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending May 13th, 2017. There's been no discernible action since the Russian and Chechen governments each agreed last week to formally investigate what Vladimir Putin called rumors of the attempted extermination of gay and bisexual men, or those perceived to be, in the predominantly Muslim region. Chechnya has been allowed a certain degree of autonomy, but it's still part of the Russian Federation, so Putin is ultimately responsible for what goes on in that part of his country. Dmitry Alushkin, a senior figure at Russia's embassy in Israel, apparently hasn't seen the memo. He told local reporters on May 10th that no gay people were being persecuted in Chechnya and called such reports part of a propaganda campaign against Russia around the world.
The Russian LGBT network has set up something akin to an underground railroad that has thus far helped more than 40 gay and bisexual men escape from the Chechen purge that has put more than 300 of them in one of at least 6 confirmed gay concentration camps. They're beaten, starved, and subjected to crude electroshock until they disclose the names of all of their gay friends. According to the most recent reports, there have been more than 30 deaths, some during torture, and others in honor killings at the hands of their own shamed family members.
Officials from the United Nations and several heads of state have publicly condemned the Chechen genocide, including Germany's Angela Merkel. While their underlings have been among those urging Russia to stop the pogrom, U.S. President Donald Trump and Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull have each been noticeably silent. And Turnbull's right-leaning Liberal National Coalition government this week blocked a motion by Greens Senator Janet Rice to formally condemn the persecution of gay and bisexual men in Chechnya. Liberal Party Senator James McGrath claimed that a long-standing parliamentary rule says that motions that cannot be debated or amended should not deal with complex foreign policy matters. Rice expressed her frustration on the Senate floor.
I am extremely disappointed that the government has denied formality on this important motion about men in Chechnya being rounded up, placed in concentration camps, beaten and tortured on the basis of their actual or presumed sexuality. And specifically the actions that I outlined in my motion of working towards a UN resolution condemning the Chechen and Russian governments, of cutting trade and diplomatic links, of backing the UN's Free and Equal campaign, which raises awareness of homophobia and transphobia, and being prepared to take gay and lesbian refugees from Chechnya. I believe these are all very reasonable measures which would have a strong chance of being supported in this Senate.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Greens will be pursuing further action so that Australia does everything it can to apply pressure on Chechnya and Russia to end this appalling persecution.
That was Australian Greens Senator Janet Rice.
5 Russian activists were arrested on May 11th in Moscow for simply trying to deliver a petition with more than 2 million signatures demanding immediate action by the Prosecutor General's office to stop the Chechen purge. The activists were stopped by police in central Moscow near the prosecutor's office. Authorities claim that the attempted delivery amounted to an unsanctioned protest. The 5 detainees defiantly posted a selfie of themselves inside the paddy wagon on the way to the police station. According to other local activists, police confiscated the boxes of petitions, so they were never delivered.
Meanwhile, a Brazilian social justice group has started a movement on Instagram under the hashtag #KissTheNumber4LGBTQRights. Hundreds of queer couples from around the world have uploaded photos of themselves smooching and geotagging themselves as being at the Kremlin in Moscow.
Elsewhere, South Korean voters elected a homophobe as their new president this week. Moon Jae-in is a former human rights lawyer who nevertheless denounced homosexuality as wrong during the campaign and specifically opposed marriage equality. The snap election in the socially conservative country followed the impeachment of his predecessor on corruption charges. Moon muddied the waters during the campaign by also saying that he opposed discrimination based on homosexuality. But he also said that gay people serving in the armed forces weaken national security. Korean men are required to complete 2 years of national service. The South Korean military has been accused of conducting a witch hunt of gay service personnel in reaction to a recent scandal involving postings on social media of purported gay South Korean soldiers having sex.
LGBTQ Cambodians and their allies are celebrating their 13th annual Pride Week, which actually runs from May 12th through the 22nd this year. And they're getting support from dozens of organizations and businesses. A joint statement issued on May 11th by 57 companies and community groups called on Cambodia's government to introduce laws to protect LGBTQ people and to open civil marriage to same-gender couples. According to the online Cambodia Daily, the statement charges that a lack of anti-bias laws leaves LGBTQ people susceptible to discrimination in employment, education, and other areas. While the Constitution's definition of marriage as a union between a man and a woman means many gays and lesbians are vulnerable to financial and property insecurity, as well as the threat of forced heterosexual marriage by their parents. But M. Chanmakara, a spokesman for the Social Affairs Ministry, said the government has no plans to create laws to protect the LGBTQ community. In Cambodia, many, many people are against LGBT, he said. If we change the law, I don't think many people will support that kind of idea. But as the Voice of America noted, Cambodia's LGBTQ community has been asserting increasing pride during the past few years. Several queer-supportive NGOs are now active, and more LGBTQ-friendly bars and coffee shops are opening in major cities. A fledgling queer media is also starting to make its mark.
A record crowd of some 6,000 people marched through Tokyo's Shibuya district for Change, the official theme, in the May 7th finale to that area's annual Rainbow Pride Festival. The parade capped a week of festivities that included booths by businesses and community nonprofits at Yoyogi Park, along with a wide range of performances. The festival boasted a record 190 major paid corporate sponsorships this year that included Sony, Google, BuzzFeed, Yahoo, Johnson & Johnson, and Spotify. 23 floats, the largest number yet, were featured in this year's parade, each with a specific theme, such as appeals for more openness or marriage equality. Many participants marched alongside the float that promoted the issue they felt most passionate about. Marchers also called on Japan's conservative government to expand on the incremental progress it's made in the past few months, such as the Education Department's addition to its bullying prevention policy in March to specifically protect sexual and gender minority students.
In other news, the U.S.-based Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is closing down its 30,000 Mormon Church-affiliated Boy Scouts of America troops for members age 14 and up, effective on January 1, 2018. The situation for younger Cub Scouts will apparently remain as is. It's no secret that the church, whose local congregations are believed to constitute the biggest number of sponsors of Scout troops, was not happy with the youth organization's recent decisions to accept openly gay members, and especially openly LGBTQ adult troop leaders. The official line from the church is that this change had nothing to do with the increased inclusiveness of the Boy Scouts. Some Roman Catholic Church congregations that cut ties with the Scouts, on the other hand, were not afraid to cite the acceptance of gay members as the reason. A Mormon media statement this week simply said that the church had decided to offer boys aged 14 and up an organization similar to the Scouts, but one that will focus on spiritual, social, physical, and intellectual goals outlined by the church.
And finally, Singapore's socially conservative government seemingly tried to blunt Pink Dot, the only annual celebration of LGBTQ people in the Southeast Asian city-state, when it banned sponsorships by foreign companies. That funding had been a mainstay of the yearly gathering for LGBTQ people and their supporters. But Pink Dot organizers announced, after fewer than 6 weeks into a campaign that only began on March 26th, that its goal of recruiting 100 local sponsors had already been met. 103 Singapore businesses, involved in everything from food and beverage to film, healthcare, finance, and engineering, have combined to pledge $201,000 so far, well over the target of $150,000, to ensure that this year's event will be held as scheduled on July 1st. Thousands of people, most decked out in pink and carrying pink placards, converge on the Speaker's Corner area of Hong Lim Park, the only place in Singapore where public demonstrations are permitted. Aerial photos taken of previous gatherings have been breathtaking. Pink Dot, now in its ninth year in Singapore, has spawned similar events in Hong Kong and elsewhere. Until now, Singapore organizers have relied mostly on foreign dollars from multinational firms such as Google, Twitter, Facebook, Barclays, and Goldman Sachs. Only 5 of Singapore's 18 Pink Dot sponsors last year were local.
The successful campaign to recruit new backers for this year's Pink Dot in Singapore overcame the government's strict local requirement that sponsoring companies be incorporated or registered in Singapore and be majority controlled by Singaporeans. At least one of the new local sponsors reportedly crowdfunded its $5,000 Pink Dot pledge. Pink Dot spokesman Piran Choa called the response from local businesses amazing, telling the Straits Times that it really does show that Singaporean companies are more than ready and willing to put their money where their hearts lie, towards building an inclusive and diverse Singapore for all.
That's News Wrap for the week ending May 13th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
This news just in from Singapore. After trying to quash the annual Pink Dot celebration by banning foreign sponsorships, the government has just made it clear that foreign people will also be barred from joining the event in any way. Organizers who raised more than enough local funding to meet the first challenge fear prosecution if they allow those who are not legal Singapore citizens or permanent residents to even attend as observers. They warn that defying the new rules will result in the arrests of any non-compliant foreigners as well as the organizers themselves, with penalties of up to $10,000 in fines and 6 months in jail.
How low can you go?
You're listening to This Way Out, brought to you by you. Your charitable donations keep this program on the air. We've produced some special CDs to say thank you to our supporters, featuring queer history, LGBT music, and behind-the-scenes looks at relevant movies and TV shows. You can also now get CDs of our regular program by subscription, and be sure you never miss a week of This Way Out. For all the details, please visit our website at thiswayout.org.
I am here at DragCon because I love RuPaul's Drag Race, and I am a super fan of the show.
You won't have to be a super fan to love DragCon later in the program, but first, celebrating LGBTQ history makes history as we listen to the 1,000th Rainbow Minute.
The word gay, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Possibly the first published appearance of the word gay, as related to a same-sex relationship, appeared in a passage from Gertrude Stein's Miss Fur and Miss Skeen, published in 1922. Here, Stein writes about a lesbian couple, Maud Hunt Squire and Ethel Mars, who met at the Cincinnati Art Academy in the 1890s. Both were artists in their own right, and had visited Stein and her partner Alice B. Toklas at their salon in Paris. In the piece, Stein manages to use the word gay in almost every sentence. In part, it reads, "They stayed there and were gay there. Not very gay there, just gay there. They were both gay there, they were regularly working there. Both of them cultivating their voices there. They were both gay there." The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Dustin Richardson.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis.
I'm Margaret Cho.
This is Edmund White.
Hi, I'm Kate Clinton.
Hello, I'm Armistead Maupin.
I'm Clive Barker.
This is Judy Shepard.
Hello, this is Ian McKellen.
I'm Joey Jewell.
I'm Stephen Fry.
I'm Harvey Milk.
Hi, this is Janice Ian.
This is Essex Hemphill.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres.
I'm Tab Hunter.
I'm Billy Bean.
This is John Cameron Mitchell.
Hello, I'm Bruce Valange.
This is Bishop Gene Robinson.
I'm Robbie Kaplan.
I'm Barney Frank.
I'm Cleve Jones.
My name is Kate Kendall.
I'm Dan Savage.
Hi, I'm Daryl Stevens. And you've discovered
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
How dare they?
And those who love them.
You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
And that's the truth.
It was Drag Spring Break, April 29th and 30th in Tinseltown, and a perky pair of This Way Out correspondents raced to the grand opening of the megafan Rue Union.
Show me what you got. Are you a winner? Can you make it hot? Don't be a loser. Take it to the top, make it pop. Put the pedal to the metal, hip hop, non-stop.
Now we're gonna cut the ribbon any second now. This is our third year, and this is our biggest year so far. And it's all because of you and because of these beautiful, gorgeous creatures behind me. Give them a big round of applause. You guys have made this drag race phenomenon such a beautiful ride for all of us. Thank you for coming to the third annual RuPaul's Drag Con Los Angeles.
I'm Steve Prine.
And I'm Wenzel Jones, reporting from the exhibition floor of the Los Angeles Convention Center
and RuPaul's Drag Con 2017. There were over 40,000 people there.
Tell our listeners who you are and why you're here.
We are the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. My name is Sister Karen Soul, and I am an African-American queen that paints her face white. We're here today just to show ourselves out and let everyone know that we are here for them if they need anybody in need. We do a lot of fundraising for gay and lesbian homeless youth and for HIV/AIDS issues. So we're here to recruit. We're here to let know people know that they are not alone, and we're here to give blessings.
Hi, I'm Matt Knife. I am the International Baron of Boylesque. I am the producer of Homo Erectus Boylesque at the historic Stonewall Inn. And I am here at DragCon because I love RuPaul's Drag Race, and I am a super fan of the show.
And what's the best thing you've seen here today?
Oh, my God. Like, so many amazing queens and beautiful people across the board. Men, women, drag queens. It's great.
I'm Zachary Drucker. I'm a producer on Transparent, and I'm an artist and a filmmaker, and I'm here at DragCon. I just did a panel with Alexis Del Lago, the Grand Dame of New York demimonde from 1950s through to today. She's been kind of an incredible archetype and legend for all gender non-binary and gender experimental folks. So we did a panel with James St. James, which was incredible, and I love being at DragCon. I think that it's such an incredible confluence of gender freedom. People from all walks of life coming to just kind of express themselves and to be around kindred spirits.
What's your biggest surprise looking around this exhibition hall?
Oh, the amount of people. It's so heartening to see such tremendous support for identities that not long ago were considered completely antisocial and illegal. I think that we've come a long way in a short amount of time, and I just feel so blessed to be a part of it.
My name is Angina, and I'm here because I am an alumni for RuPaul's Drag Race Season 1. I probably am most memorable from my season because I came out as HIV positive during my season.
And what did the show do for you?
The show not only helped me throughout my career, but it helped me really elevate my drag persona and really look at drag in a different way, and really just made me become a better person and a better creative person.
Has the show itself changed drag in the U.S.?
Absolutely. Now that the show is definitely in the forefront of our culture, it has an effect into how people do their drag, what they want to do, and things like that. And I think that that's a really great thing now that the show is reaching a catapult of people like crazier than I ever thought it would.
Tell our listeners who you are and why you're here.
I have no idea. No, I'm Frank DiCaro, and I am at DragCon for the third year in a row, partly because I adore drag and partly because I'm working on a book on drag. It'll come out in 2018, and so that's why I'm here. But it's mostly out of love for drag.
And what have you been up to lately?
I've been touring the country with Lisa Lampanelli, and I've been opening for her everywhere. from January to April, I think we did like 45 dates all over the country. So it was kind of crazy. And now I'm home a few weeks and I'm a slave to my computer and I sit at the keyboard and type and type and type. And that book is getting there, but well, you know, that's what I've been doing. And then we go back out on the road in the middle of May again.
Tell me who you are, this random stranger who's walking around stalking Mr. DeCaro.
I am stalking Mr. DeCaro, but you know, I only stalk the best. My husband, Frank DeCaro. I'm Jim Colucci, and I'm an author and TV writer, and I love it because we're such fans of Drag Race and of drag in general, and I'm not a big reality show person. I'm a sitcom person. I love scripted TV. But when you can see a reality show that has so much heart in it and then see it come to life, where you get to see everybody here in one room, it's amazing. So as both fans of drag and also this is my second drag con, last year I did a panel about my book, Golden Girls Forever, and I learned, you know, you show up at drag con wearing a Betty White t-shirt, and these are your people. And so this is amazing. It's like between loving drag and loving drag con and then knowing that I'm in a room full of people who love what I love, like the Golden Girls, it's great. And we're, you know, tons of people are stopping me about my shirt, but then I've seen a lot of other Golden Girls shirts going on around here.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
But there are drag queens out there who do like the Golden Girls.
That's right, and I wrote about them in my book. There are drag troops in many cities, including LA here. And then, of course, people always talk about Bea Arthur and the original Golden Girls as if they were drag queens.
Bea Arthur appeared at one of the most legendary nights of drag in 1994. She was on a bill with Charles Pierce, Charles Bush, Milton Berle in drag, and Bea Arthur, and it kind of worked. And so I think she was a drag queen, and her penis was just bigger than the rest. That's all.
I'm Blake McIver, and I'm here just enjoying the festivities that is DragCon. I've been every single year. I love to see all the queens and the exhibits, and it's just fun.
Well, it's radio, so people can't see you. Explain to them who you are. You're well known.
Well, I call myself a recovering child actor, but also a singer-songwriter in the current world. And I love being a part of queer culture and queer art.
You were on Full House.
I was.
You've had a number of successful careers as a singer, and you're also, are you still on The People's Couch?
The People's Couch on Bravo, yes. That is the current gig, yes. So we watch everything that's on television and comment on it in our own bent way.
I'm Steve Pride.
And I'm Wendell Jones at RuPaul's Drag Con 2017. Tell our listeners who you are and why you're here.
I am Michelle Visage. I am everything LGBT, positivity, love, light, and happiness, and of course, RuPaul's Drag Race.
But you're not a drag queen.
I am a drag queen.
What's the best thing about Drag Con?
People coming together for the same purpose. Everybody loving the show, but that's not really the purpose. The purpose is celebrating the art of drag in the name of love and everybody getting along. We're under this huge space with all the queerest people and weirdest people in the world, a conglomerate of love and art and craziness just coming together.
Tell me about your kids, because you have a gay daughter, and I think you must be the coolest mom to have.
I mean, I have a queer daughter. She doesn't identify as anything, non-binary and not gay or straight. She's 17 and she wants to try everything, and I think it's amazing. And she doesn't necessarily like when I talk about it, but I think she knows that I'm here and the best mother to have, because I'm going to raise that P flag with like lots of love and support, and that's really important, and it's the one thing that I wish every queer kid in the world could have.
What's the biggest surprise about this event?
The amount of heterosexual couples that have come over, and they're, as it's grown, you see a lot more straight men going, I watch Drag Race because of you. And it's like, yeah, you watch Drag Race because of my
tits.
But, you know, the fact that there's love in the family, yeah, and that they watch together is beautiful. That's kind of new to me. It's great.
Hi, I'm Fenton Bailey. I'm one of the co-founders of World of Wonder, and we produce DragCon.
How's it going this third year?
This third year is the most amazing year yet. I mean, we've had a phenomenal explosion of interest, so it's really exciting. I think we're gonna have to like figure out something for next year. We need more room. We need a bigger hall.
You know, someone somewhere can write a thesis for college on the not the fact that there is a drag con, but that it has a children's area.
Oh, absolutely. It's a well, you know, I have kids. Randy, my partner at World of Wonder, he has kids too. And last year we noticed so many families coming, you know, teenagers and kids dragging their parents to DragCon. And it just made sense to, like, let's have a bouncy house. We have drag queen story hour, which is great. We were just over there with Acid Betty doing story hour. I mean, isn't that great?
And what's the big surprise this year?
Well, I think there's a few things that have been really new and kind of surprising. One is I feel that as a result of the election, we have a much more engaged audience. And they realize, I think, that drag is fun and entertaining, yes, and it's also political. Because by standing up for your individuality and your freedom to be who you are and to be authentic, these are all things that the current administration is against. You know, they want to build walls, they want to close minds, close hearts. And of course, DragCon is the exact opposite. So I feel this enormous groundswell, really, of people being engaged and wanting to make a difference and recognizing that the freedom we have is really precious and should be as fiercely and fabulously defended as our outfits. So I feel that's a big difference. And we've catered to that. We have the ACLU are here. We have a number of nonprofits, the Resistance March are here. And Teen Vogue did a panel on what drag means in the age of Trump. So people are just more, you know, I don't know quite what it means, woke, you know, as the kids say. People are more woke. And I think that's also drawing people here, you know, because this is a safe space. This is where you can be yourself. This is where you're not going to be judged or harassed or assaulted. You're going to be celebrated.
Fenton, you said earlier you had big news.
One of the new things that's going to come later this year is DragCon NYC. You know, a lot of people on the East Coast who would like to come who can't, so we're going to take it to them. You know, drag is an art form that really deserves a wider audience, or like just anybody can enjoy this. It's not about being gay, or it's not even necessarily about men dressing up as women. It is a sort of celebration and a parody of all the madness of popular culture. And it's a true art form, and I feel that people now are beginning to feel they have permission to take this medium seriously and to enjoy it. And I think that's very satisfying, because that's the way it should be. Life is better with drag. You know, the way to make America great again is drag queens.
I'm Steve Pride.
And I'm Wenzel Jones at RuPaul's DragCon 2017. Thanks for joining us, but it's time to fold the frock, put the wig back on the stand, and sashay away until next year. RuPaul's Drag Race.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Michael LeBeau, Judd Proctor and Brian Burns with Dustin Richardson, and Steve Pride and Wenzel Jones contributed program material. Chubby Checker performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener donors, for making this program possible. It's always a good time to log on to thiswayout.org and join the family. Look for This Way Out on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 5GTR Mount Gambier, South Australia, KYAQ Lincoln County, Oregon, 3CH Wood End, Victoria, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now y'all stay tuned.